Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications, invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org, Ship Store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. As Beth said, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers weekly blog radio show. With us today are Steve Cromer. I don't know what your official title is, Steve. Do you have one?
You don't want to know.
And I'm Janice Cromer. I'm the director. It's good to be back live. We had a few replays in 1 week with no show due to the rendezvous. It takes all of our staff to run those rendezvous, so I thank you for your patience. For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, and that's the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, or AGLCA, as you will hear from most of our members, is an organization of people who share the sense of adventure and curiosity about America's inland. Our association's primary purpose is to give you information and enhance the overall experience for those learning about, dreaming of, and exploring the Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We strongly encourage you to visit that website. For those people just thinking about the Loop, there's loads of information that will help you make your decision, and we'd love for you to join and become a member. Our guest hosts this week are Gold Loopers Jim and Lisa Favors. Lisa has edited two books that are very popular with our loopers, When the Water Calls, We Follow, and Women on Board Cruising. Both of those books are available from our ship store. And Jim and Lisa will be telling us about the scenic, beautiful trip up the Potomac from Chesapeake Bay to Washington, D.C. Again, we are live today, so if anyone would like to call in with questions, the toll-free number is 877-497-1815. Jim, why don't you get started and give us some information on the trip?
Okay. Can you hear me okay, first of all?
Yes, you're coming through very clearly. Thank you.
Okay. I wrote down why cruise the Potomac, and we thought before we went up the Potomac that, you know, it'd be a lot of industrial, a lot of city, and we were pleasantly surprised that it's somewhat rural all the way until you get to this side of Washington, D.C. There's a lot of great anchorages, there's nice marinas, small towns, and nice restaurants in those towns. Mount Vernon, of course, and then the Washington, D.C., Alexandria area. If you have the time, it's well worth the trip. It's 105 miles from the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay up to D.C. 101 miles of that is tidal. One bit of caution, and I know some boats have already gone through there, but for future loopers and those that haven't gotten to the Potomac yet, that mouth of the Potomac is 10 miles across from Smith Point to Point Lookout, and that can be some pretty treacherous water at times at the confluence of those two rivers because of the cross currents and tidal rips. So you have to be somewhat cautious whether you're crossing it and going north or south or east or west, or if you're going up the river. 100% of the Potomac River is in the state of Maryland. That's the way the state lines were dictated back a long time ago. Just a little kernel of information. I would say that if you're going to go up to D.C., we would suggest 8 days as kind of a guide. Obviously, you can do more or you could do less. It depends on how fast you travel, et cetera. I'd say 2 days up because it's 105 miles and 4 days in D.C., to Alexandria, and 2 days back, just accordingly to your schedule. We've been up there to D.C. probably 4 times by land and boat, just 1 time by boat. But some suggested stops along the way. Smith Creek, which would be off of Smith Point in Virginia. It's a very nice, well-protected anchorage. Across the way is St. Mary's City, which there's been some posts on the blog recently on AGLCA. In there, you have St. Mary's Yachting Center for a marina, and then go all the way back to Horseshoe Bend, where there's St. Mary's City, where you can visit that historic site and visit the college, St. Mary's. A little bit further in is Canoe Neck Creek, a great anchorage, well-protected, very rural, cows coming down to the water type of scenery, and that's at St. Clement's Bay.
How far up is that, Jim?
That would be about 30 miles up off of the from Smith Point. And I'm not going to probably say this right. Yokomiko River, which is back on the Maryland side, which is about 15 miles up. You've got Olverson's Lodge Marina and as a marina, and you've got Long Cove Anchorage, which is a very well-protected anchorage. As you move further up the river, Colonial Beach, that will be the only town of any size on the Potomac until you get to Washington, D.C. Fuel stops, big marina, a small town that you can reprovision, et cetera. So that might be a stop for you as well. If you have...
I can say something about the Colonial Marina. Steve and I, we made the trip that Jim and Lisa are talking about, and I was very concerned because we needed to stop at Colonial, and we weren't sure we were going to make it by the time they closed due to some firing, and that was in what, Steve? In the Potomac? Anyway, they were wonderful. The people stayed late for us. There's a great restaurant there. It's a little tiny town, but the place is really special. So don't ever be intimidated about stopping there.
Absolutely. Just past the 301 bridge is Port Tobacco area. There's a place there. It's Flats. They call it Port Tobacco Flats. If you have very calm weather, it's a place to anchor out overnight or day anchor and as you're working your way up towards D.C. Mount Vernon, you can visit Mount Vernon from the water. In order to do that, you need to call the phone number 703-780-2000 and then ask for extension 6856 and call ahead of time. You can anchor out and bring your dinghy in, or you can dock at the dock that they have there by calling ahead of time. One advice, if you go to Mount Vernon, do not go on the weekend. It would be very crowded, and don't do what we did and go on Father's Day weekend. I think every father in the world was there when we were there. Yeah, it was really busy, but it's well worth the time. We haven't been to Alexandria we passed that and went into D.C., and when you get to D.C., there's several marinas. We happen to stay at the Capitol Yacht Club. You do not have to be a member of their yacht club or any other yacht club to stay there. We liked it because it was right there. easy walking to downtown D.C., to all the attractions. They were very friendly. They have a spaghetti dinner on Thursday nights, et cetera. You can catch the metro there, which is a subway train, or the buses, or you can walk or ride your bikes. Now, Gangplank is right next to Capital Yacht Club, so that's another choice. Or you can anchor out in the Washington Channel, which is right across from either of those marinas. And you'll have to check waterway guide, et cetera, to find out. You have to call ahead to land your dinghy on BHF 12 or 17. Yeah, once you're in D.C., there's 19 museums, 9 research centers, a zoo, Arlington Cemetery, baseball, monuments, memorials, Capitol Building, and White House tours, all reachable from either those marinas or some of the others that are in the area. If you're going to want to visit the Capitol Building, you can just show up and go on a general tour. But if you want to visit the House or Senate chambers, you need to make those arrangements ahead of time through your House or Senate representatives.
How early in advance do you have to do that, Jim? Do you know?
Yeah, it's you might be able to do it on short notice. We were told that it, you should allow 3 to 4 weeks. But.
Okay, great. I think while we're breaking, let's do a quick commercial for Motorway Guide, Steve.
You got it.
Thank you.
Did you know that every mile of the Great Loop is covered by both the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob? Use them to plan your Great Loop cruise and learn about the places you can visit. In the cockpit, important navigation info is always ready at your side, plus marina listings, anchorages, services, and so much more. Each Skipper Bob and Waterway Guide is updated yearly, and waterwayguide.com and skipperbob.net keep you current with navigation alerts, cruising news, fuel prices, and special deals. With the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob at the helm, you'll always be on course. Order yours today at the AGLCA Ship Store at greatloop.org. Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob are proud sponsors at the Admiral level with AGLCA.
Great. Jim, before we get started again, have you been in touch with the Capital Yacht Club lately?
Have not.
Okay, we haven't either, but I think, Steve, am I correct? When we were there, it will be 3 years this summer. They were talking about some renovations along that waterway. Steve, is that correct?
They were, but the way the folks at the yacht club talked about it, they were going to be okay. They'd be moving around, but they'd be open during the renovation.
Okay, great. I guess what if you are planning on going up, you might just give them a call and make reservations ahead of time, which is always a good idea at a marina. Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Let's see. Let's go back to the marina a second, and then I'll get back to downtown D.C. and the attractions. Next to the Capitol Yacht Club and Gangplank Marina is a seafood market that's a huge must-see place to visit, especially if you like fresh seafood. Also, if you're going to be in the Washington, D.C. area, over the 4th of July, it's my understanding, I've not been, that they have some of the best fireworks that you'll ever see. That being said, I would say that you probably would need to make reservations pretty soon if you want to be at a marina at that particular period of time. Let's see. The House and Senate chambers, you have to get separate passes, as I mentioned. Also, if you want to visit the White House, and I'm not sure if those tours are up and running right now or not, but there is a way to check, and that's www.visitthecapitol.gov. And in order to tour the White House, when the tours are available, you have to go through your state representative if you're a U.S. citizen. And if you're from Canada or any other country, you have to go through your embassy to get a pass to visit the White House. And that's typically a 2 to 3 week, 4 week turnaround period as well. So you should plan ahead of time for that.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in D.C., if you can visit the museums during the week instead of the weekend, you'll find that that's more pleasurable because you don't have, it's like boating. It's better to boat if you're in a metropolitan area during the week than the weekend and sit tight during the weekend. That applies to Washington, D.C. as well. But there is an awful lot to see, and just about everything is, free. And you can't see it all in 4 days. When we stayed in the Solomons for the summer, we went 3 times by car and 1 time by boat. There's just that much to see. What questions might you have that you want me to cover, Janice or Steve?
Level of experience to do the Potomac safely or confidently?
Yes. Yeah, we never had any problems with anchorages, with the currents or tides or obstructions or anything of that nature. No, it was rather straightforward. And although we'd crossed the Potomac off the Chesapeake 4 or 5 times, we've never come across any kind of real turbulent water. But they always caution to be careful in that area because you do have the tidal currents and possible rip tides that can occur there. But we didn't have any problem at all. It's rather very easy.
Okay. Again, Steve and I did that trip. It was absolutely one of the best trips we've done. I loved it. We did have one experience that I'm the one who gets frightened and intimidated, and Steve, you may need to jump in here. But again, we were going to trying to get to Colonial Beach. And Steve, if I have the whole episode wrong, tell me. But the Navy was doing drills. And they radioed us. And we had to go off our course and go across the waterway, way, way off to the side, and then come back. And again, that was the reason where I didn't think we'd make Colonial Beach by the time they closed. But when they radioed us, if we had not had our paper chart out and ready and knew exactly where we were, they give you buoy numbers and tell you exactly where to go and where to avoid. And again, if we hadn't had our charts ready and were very, very on top of our location, it would have been difficult for us.
Yeah, and I think that location is by the 301 bridge, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
do you remember it, Steve?
Yeah, it's a little past it, but it's right in that area, and the gunfire gets your attention.
Yeah, it's live ammunition fire.
Yep.
And when they radio you, they are serious. You need to get out of their way quickly. So just something to be aware of when you're in that area. Just, keep on top of where you are, where the buoys are, and where the markers are, and make sure you listen to your radio. Other than that, it was just a great trip. I would recommend anyone do it. Seeing Washington, D.C., I had seen it often as a child and hadn't been back since high school. The memorials are just, the World War II memorial was so moving, the Vietnam memorial. I mean, it's just, if you haven't been there in a while, I know it's probably the most popular high school vacation trip, but if you haven't been there in a while, it's really worth going and extra special going by boat. So, Jim, unless you have anything else to add, we can close up. Thank you so much for your help.
Glad to do it, and appreciate the opportunity.
Well, again, thank you because you've made it come real to people. Steve, do you have any questions?
No, I enjoyed the trip up the Potomac, but other than that, not much.
Okay, well, Jim and Lisa, thank you very much. Just in case you missed the e-update that came out yesterday, the registration is open for our fall rendezvous. The dates are October 14th through the 17th. Just remember that event fills up very, very early, and I hate people to be disappointed. We have taken the entire facility for this coming year, so we will be able to accommodate around 65 boats. and there are 75 large rooms available. We do have to limit the number of people to come just because the size of the meeting room. But if you're interested, sign up as early as you can, and obviously if you have questions, let me know. Thank you to all our listeners, and we'll be back next week. Everyone have a safe cruising week. Thank you.